Hey, good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Yes, we took a little bit of a break. Not intentional, but glad we're back. Today, we have a special episode, episode 255. This is a Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday doubleheader. Top 30 superfoods along with nightshades, those foods that we want to avoid in chronic pain cases. Sit back and enjoy this episode as Becca and I discuss both top 30 superfoods and nightshades in chronic pain cases on this doubleheader episode of Total Wellness Radio.
Hello and welcome to Country Doctor's Wellness Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having an amazing Wednesday. Survived yesterday's almost tragic hailstorms that rolled through. Those clouds were amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful day out there today, though.
Yes.
Sunny and shiny.
Gorgeous.
We should all be golfing.
Yes.
Well, good exercise.
You should be.
Well, good exercise.
All of us should.
Why not?
Today we are discussing a very important topic, as they all are. What you shouldn't be eating, as well as why you should not be counting calories. We're going to go into, I'm just trying to find the
6211.
Yeah. I wanted to go into kind of like what our kind of daily diet, we just ate lunch together so we could share what we ate.
Sure.
We want to kind of go over like what we eat maybe in an average day, but what you should aim to eat in an average day, foods you should avoid.
Choices.
And then, lots of choices. I want to talk about Andy scores. If you guys are not familiar with Andy scores, we're going to cover those as well.
Carolyn, Janice.
And that is really why... Andy scores are like a really good example of why we don't want you calorie counting. It is not just calories in, calories out. Not all, you know, not all calories are equal, essentially, is what we're going to cover. But just to kind of start off with, let's maybe run through what like an average day of eating looks like for each of us.
You know, today was I made a choice this morning. I just had really light, like, water, lots of water, coffee, right? I'm a coffee lover. I do the bulletproof thing, right, with the MCT oils and the butters. Really, really healthy fats. It's good energy. It gets things going. And then for lunch, I had some folks bring in some fresh greens, like dark green leafies from their garden. And I just put them in the sink and really washed them up good and got some of the dirt off and, you know, some of the bug whatever's off of it and chopped it all up and made a little salad. And I feel like totally satisfied. Plus, I don't know if I can't speak for you folks, but if you're anything like me, when it's really hot, the lighter the meal, the better.
Yes.
I just cannot eat big meals when it's hot. It's really, really warm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I feel very satisfied. And I had a LaCroix as my beverage today and then more water. So... typically, I'll have between 4 and 6 eggs a day. I'll have some form of meat protein, usually a hamburger or chicken. I definitely want to, I try to stay with colors of the rainbow when I do the salad, except for today. I ran out of olives, didn't have all of some of my other fixins that I normally have in the back fridge. So it was just a plate full of dark green leafies sliced up. I do use a little ranch dressing, but I kind of keep it to where it's a minimum of no more than 2 tablespoons for a great big salad. So it's really just more of just a little bit of flavor, but not just drenched in dressings, because those can be problematic for a lot of people. So yeah, that's the focus, right? For me is try to stay with 6211. But on hot days, I eat very little. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us. I just don't like eating... I don't like getting weighted down with
heavy
foods.
Yeah, the heavy food is not... that's why we like our comfort food in the wintertime, right? Because we don't like to have that really heavy food in the summertime when it's really hot.
Yeah.
So that was kind of... That was a really good... That's a good...
Kind of what I did today far. And I still keep food logs. I still keep my food logs. I have since May 4th of last year. Since May 4th of last year, I've missed a total of maybe 5 days where I didn't like log the food completely the entire day. Yeah. So... for me, it just keeps me on track. It keeps me focused. It only takes like a minute or two here or there throughout the day. I find for me, if I'll write it down or log it when I'm eating it.
Yeah.
Don't try to rely on this. Log it when I'm eating it. And then I can stay on track with staying with my ratios how I want them to be. So.
Awesome. awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hit the share button or hit a watch party if you
you
want to join you in on this. So we're talking kind of daily diet, what you should and shouldn't eat, and we're going to cover why you should not count calories.
Yeah.
If you've attended our Nutrition 101 class, and if you haven't, get signed up for the next one.
Next Tuesday.
Because it is next Tuesday. We go over 6-2-1-1, which is essentially you want to get kind of 6 different vegetables, 2 fruits, 1 starch, and 1 meat protein. Now, you don't have to do meat if you're vegetarian or vegan, and you don't have to do a starch if you, like, you prefer. Mm-hmm. You do pretty much starch-free.
Yeah.
The idea is to
when
eat starches in...
When I say starch, it's breads. No right, grains, the right, processed right. grains. Yeah. I try to avoid that stuff.
But you don't really eat potatoes anymore and things like that. But the point is, this is kind of a good way to have a balanced day. And you go in more depth than that in the nutrition class. So if you haven't signed up for that, make sure you get signed up for next Tuesday's class. I, like you, do a lot of salads. I have a lot of extra things I'll add to my salad. So when I get a lot of my variety of vegetables, most of the time will be in my salads or in my smoothies.
Yep.
Because then I can have multiple things in, kind of get it out, right? So if I have a salad, I'm going to have 3 or 4 or 5 different vegetables just in that one salad, which I did today. I had radishes in there. I also like sunflower seeds.
And apparently garlic.
And I had some garlic and onions that apparently is obvious.
Close quarters battle.
Yeah. And
but it's good for you. Garlic is such an immune booster. It's amazing what it does. It's a detoxifier. It helps clear the liver. It provides methyl nutrition for liver, for methylation. It's just one of those. It's really a standalone superfood.
Yes.
It's a standalone superfood.
If
like
you could
your
get
list
it in every day, that would be amazing. It comes up every week, every condition or concern we cover. Mm-hmm. Garlic can, potentially support or help that.
Yep.
So I typically will do a smoothie in the morning. Sometimes I'll have a collagen drink before that.
Bone broth too. Yeah.
Bone broth is another one. I will start my day off with bone broth, and I'll have coffee, smoothie, typically a salad for lunch for the most part. Snacks will usually be like berries, or I will like to just eat an avocado or a handful of nuts.
Melon fruit. You've brought melon fruits in.
And then, dinner is typically when I will get my meat protein. So typically we'll have some sort of, whether it's chicken or beef, at dinner time. And then it just kind of depends. I think tonight my husband's making chili. He makes like the best chili.
Oh, he does.
He makes the best chili.
So what time?
I don't. You'll have to ask him.
I will be texting Mr. David.
But typically at nighttime, we will do another vegetable or salad with some sort of meat protein, or we'll have a couple of those. So we might have like a cucumber salad, but then also have like a cooked vegetable, or so it just kind of depends. But essentially, what we're discussing is aim to have 80%.
Yep.
Of your daily intake are real whole foods. Like, as in Mother Earth grew them for you, and they don't need a label with a list of ingredients. If you can get 80% of your food intake, so it's not about perfection, right? I still have chips or crackers or processed foods of some kind, right? It's not about perfection. It's about if you can get 80% of that daily intake to be foods that don't need the label with a list of ingredients, you are in a really, really good place to be.
Raw, preferably uncooked.
Yeah.
Organic when available, right? I mean, just some simple guidelines.
Yes.
But that can make 80% of the difference in how your body's able to perform. We've gotten away from in this country the understanding of why we consume food, right? You don't eat for pleasure, you eat for purpose. And the purpose of eating, and not that you don't eat pleasurable foods, I'm not saying that, but the purpose of eating is so that the body can perform optimally, right? So when we think of colors of the rainbow, when we think 80% raw, uncooked, preferably organic when possible, right? Those are the kind of foods that are nutrient dense. Nowhere in this discussion, this is, by the way, some of the stuff that we share is based on Dr. Bernard Jensen's, who in his lifetime, he saw over 400,000 clients worldwide. As a PhD in nutrition, as a naturopath, and as a master gardener, and he was focusing on correcting performance problems with food, right? Yeah. All performance issues. So whether it's endocrine, metabolism, immune system, weight, metabolic syndromes, all these different things, type 2 diabetes, right? All these different things that are symptoms of the problem. This focus and the work that he did with people worldwide really boiled down to this 80-20 rule. If I could just, and again, not perfectly, but if I could just focus on doing and really get that 80-20 kind of dialed in on a consistent basis, what I'm doing is I'm positioning my body to perform optimally. And that's the whole key.
Yes.
So.
Love it. I also love Dr. Joel Fuhrman. This was the very first nutrition book that I got for myself 8 years ago. 8 years ago.
Is that when you started your journey to the, through the weight loss thing and everything? Okay.
Yeah, Dayton was a baby, so that makes it easier for me to remember how long it's been. But Dayton was a baby. Actually, I bought this before Dayton. This was when I was working with a personal trainer, and she was repeatedly telling me, I don't care how much you work out with me, if you don't change what you eat, we're not getting results. And she encouraged me to buy this book, so thank you, AJ. It sat in my house, however, for like 1 or 2 years untouched. And then 8 years. So I guess I bought it 9 or 10 years ago. And then 8 years ago, I picked it up and I thought, I'm going to revisit this whole food thing because I've tried everything else and it hasn't worked for me and I feel horrible. And so I pulled this out and I read it. It's one of the best little books I've
looks kept like it. It's a quick
I pull
read.
It out all the time. Yes. Has very actionable steps you can take. But I love this because he has this picture in here that gives an example of why calories don't matter. So it shows 400 calories of oil versus 400 calories of chicken versus 400 calories of vegetable. This is a picture of the stomach. And so essentially what it's showing is when you eat these nutrient-dense, whole, real, plant-based foods, you actually fill your stomach.
Yep, you feel full. Feel satisfied.
This is like the best way to show why calories don't matter.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to explain the ANDI, which is aggregate nutrient density index. So essentially what the ANDI scores do with every single food item could be scored on the ANDI score. You can go Google research on your own. You know, we say this all the time. ANDI scores go from 0 to 1,000. And what they do is take foods and say, okay, based on how nutrient dense is this food compared to how many calories it has. So the higher the score, the better. So the higher the score means less calories, more nutrient dense. For example, everybody knows kale. Most people don't like it. I don't get it. But kale is 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Collard greens are 1,000. Mustard greens are 1,000. Watercress is 1,000. Now, you might not like kale.
Turnip greens.
But you might like watercress.
That's some good eats.
Or collard greens, right? Because they're very, very low calories, but extremely nutrient dense.
Yep.
So if you ate these foods that were really high on the ANDI score, you might only eat 500 calories a day, but you might nutritionally be in a much better place than virtually every American walking around, unfortunately. To give you some, you know, some other scores and perspectives, spinach is 739, broccoli 715, Brussels sprouts 672, it's his favorite, cabbage 481, romaine lettuce 389. Now I would probably argue, let's talk about quality for a moment, because I know I've had one head of romaine and another head of romaine, and nutritionally speaking, I can just tell that there is a huge difference there.
Yeah.
So obviously quality and your source of where you're getting that.
Yep.
Like you were saying, you just got some fresh greens.
It's amazing the taste and the flavor.
The taste is so much different.
Hi, Nina.
Because most of the
stuff
you're buying in the store was picked early, which means it's going to have the lower nutrients in it, right? Then it traveled 1,000 or 2,000 miles to get here, which means they froze it to keep it fresh, even though it was already picked early. So it wasn't picked at the optimal time.
Yep.
And so they do all of these things to our food. So by the time we get them, we are not getting the level of nutrition we ideally should versus going to a local farmer Or like we want to share Y-Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Y-Fresh. We're going to post a link to their website later.
For here, in Wyoming.
Local place here in Cheyenne. They kind of started their own little kind of farmer's market.
CSA.
Yeah, CSA. Because our farmer's market was shut down over the wintertime. Right down on the south side of town. We stopped by there. I actually had some microgreens in my lunch, which was super.
Yeah, but it's great.
Really, really good. So we're going to drop a link and encourage you guys to check them out. They deliver or you can pick up every other Friday. So I think next Friday is the next one available for here in Cheyenne. But super exciting. Microgreens, as we just learned, they are like up to 40 times more nutritious than their counterparts.
Yep.
And so, and they're just little pieces, so you could just pick them off, put them in salad. I put some in some fried rice last night that I made. You could put them in soups. I mean, you could literally just put them in anything.
Yeah.
I put them in the kids' salads and they didn't say a word. She told me the kids will eat them.
Dressing is pretty amazing.
That's true.
Too.
I do have really good dressing.
Yeah. You know, I want to comment on something too.
Yeah.
There's 30 of these on this list, and I was just looking as counting it up for myself personally.
Yeah, like how many do you eat?
13. I don't even eat 50% of these.
But and I eat average day.
On my average day, I for sure get 5 to 6 of the upper ones from like 300 up into the 7 and also into the 1,000 range. But yeah. So that's good. That's good reference. So
yeah, that is a good reference. I'm like not even at 10.
Yeah, I'm not perfect on that.
So I need to check kind of what I'm eating as well.
Yeah.
We'll post a picture of one of these too, so you guys can see. I would encourage you to do your own research, your own homework. Andy scores. I looked up. I quoted it wrong earlier, but a Coke. To give you perspective, the scores go from 0 to 1,000. A Coke is 0.6. I think because they use water.
They actually started with a little bit of water somewhere.
I think that's where they get a 0.6. So not even one.
Hey, Ashley.
So this is something good for you guys to check out.
Yeah.
And just kind of pay attention to what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting... And maybe aim for 50%. 50% of your foods, whole, plant-based. They don't need a label that has a list of ingredients. Maybe that's your goal. Because it doesn't have to be, right? We're never looking for overnight.
Right.
We don't want you to try and go overnight and you're trying, you know, you go from eating 10% plant-based foods to 80% plant-based foods.
10 to 15, 15 to 20, 20 to 25. If it takes 6 months, it does. Yeah.
It's a process.
Yep.
One of the most common questions I get asked about my journey is like, how long did it take me? And I'm like, well, I'm still on it.
Yeah.
And so it's always like a work in progress.
Yep.
But I would definitely say that it was a couple of years of gradually swapping things out in my home to get where I'm at today. And even then, I still get duped on marketing.
Yep.
With everything that I've kind of learned in the last 8 years, I still get duped. I still find myself going, I'm eating this and I don't know that it's good for me.
Yeah.
Right? Or I give in to cravings. Like, at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
And here's the thing to really, really understand and plug into as far as a mindset, because what Becca is touching on is super important. Wellness is only preceded by your disciplines, right? You have to have those right disciplines in place in order to the outcome, the result, to be wellness. So the mechanics of improving your health, who you're talking to, doing food logs, what are you following, by how much do you want to improve, and for how long? I mean, It's 3 to 6 months for most people, maybe 9, to get dietary habits kind of straightened out. It's 1 to 3 years to actually achieve wellness. But that wellness is driven by your consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's driven by your decisions. It's driven by you plugging into the right information and applying it over time. Because time is your friend now that you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Time is not your friend if you're on the wrong path. Okay, but time becomes your friend and wellness becomes your friend, and it's easier to achieve once you understand that you're doing the right things in order. You're going to have setbacks. Nobody does it perfectly, myself included. I tell people all the time, from looking at my food log since May 4th of last year, I maintain between 90 and maybe on my best day, 93% compliant on my best day. So it's not perfect because I might be missing some things. There's some other nutrition. I could have done better in my nutrition. Maybe I only had four vegetables that day. They were amazing. I had lots of them, but I didn't give myself really the variety that it would like to perform optimally. So, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, get paranoid about, you know, trying to micromanage this. I'm just saying that wellness is always preceded by your personal choices and disciplines. It never happens without them. And we have to just understand that. And these kind of tools that are being shared today can be invaluable to you as a practitioner, if you are a practitioner, I know Ed is, and helping you, but also when you implement, then you can help your clients even more. And you can help coach them. You can empower them to make great decisions. But they don't have to make perfect decisions, just better and great decisions over time. Mm-hmm. And man, it's worth it. Nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. It just does.
Yes.
Nothing tastes as good as healthy
feels. That's so true. So, one of my favorite quotes, too, is that your health is a direct reflection of your relationship with yourself.
Yep. Mine's gotten very good over the years.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad.
We're getting along better and better every day.
As long as I can have some of David's chili, we'll stay that way.
He does make the best chili.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, so I want to just quote a few stats. These are over, well, actually 20 years old. So this is 1900 to 2000. Just glancing at them, I know that it's dramatically changed in the last 20 years.
100 years. That's 100 years, by the way.
No, but I mean the data was pulled 20 years ago.
Okay. Oh, for 2000.
Because it's 1900 to 2000. So the numbers I'm going to read have changed in the last 20 years.
Oh, yes.
So this is 1900 to 2000. Sugar consumption, 5 pounds a year in 1900. 170 pounds a year in 2000. I think the last time I quoted this, it was 250 pounds a year for Americans. I could be wrong. I know it's over 200 pounds a year. I can't remember if it's 250 or 200, but it's definitely gone up a lot in the last 20 years. Soft drinks in 1900, zero. 2000, 53 gallons a year. So think about, I should have brought the sugar thing, but there's like this much sugar in one can of soda. Oils, 4 pounds a year, up to 74 pounds a year.
Whoa.
Cheese in 1900, only 2 pounds a year. In 2000, 30 pounds a year.
It's 2 pounds a month.
That's 2 pounds a month.
Instead of a year. Yeah.
Meat was 140 pounds a year. Went up to 200 pounds.
Now, isn't it interesting? I'd like to pause right there. Mm-hmm. Meat gets blamed for a lot of cancers. A lot of cancers. Oh, you're eating too much red meat. But the sugar consumption has gone from zero to 53 gallons of soda pop a year on average. But the meat's only went up 60 pounds mm-hmm. on average. And that's not everybody.
And I think it's the quality of meat
and
is where our real big concern comes in.
Antibiotics, growth hormones, exactly. Okay.
Homegrown produce was at 131 pounds a year in 1900 and was down to 11 pounds a year in 2000. That's our real problem.
Yep.
That's our real problem. Because we're getting these, like we were saying earlier, we're getting these foods that are traveling, what they're going through to keep them looking good by the time they get to the grocery store takes the nutrition out of them, the nutrients out of them. Calories, not that we really care about calories, but the problem is that we're full of more and more empty calories.
We're counting the wrong numbers.
Yes, so we're not only consuming more calories, we're consuming more of the wrong calories. That's the problem.
Yep, yep.
So we went from 2100 to 2757 in 2000. So keep in mind, those are 20-year-old numbers, but still pretty amazing. I just want to repeat, homegrown produce went from 131 pounds a year down to 11. That's our problem, right there.
In Cheyenne, the average produce travels, vegetables travel 2,500 miles, typically are picked green, typically flooded with some form of chemical preservative. Mm-hmm. And because they're picked green, they're not ripe. If they're not ripe, they're not mature. If they're not mature, they're not nutrient dense and enzyme rich. So they're really denatured just because of the manufacturing, just because the harvesting method alone is denaturing the food. Then it has to travel and sit and then be processed and then put on the shelves for hopefully it gets bought soon enough before it completely goes bad. Or I should say it goes worse. than what it was when it got there. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're up against in today's modern living. Modern living is extremely convenient, but it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. It's extremely convenient, but it's not healthy. We have to remember those simple things and position ourselves to plug into this type of information that Becca is sharing, because these are simple little decisions that we can make that empowers your decision. The biggest mindset is don't punish yourself for what you've chosen. Empower yourself to make a better decision. That's all. It's all mindset.
Yes.
And
yes,
then do yes. that over time. Wellness follows.
Yes.
Improved health follows.
Yes.
Restoration yes. follows. Since the dawn of man, 6,000 years of recorded history, yeah. there's no replacement for that.
Yeah.
There's no replacement for that. So our modern medical system is good. Staying healthy and making the right choices is best. So good is always enemy of best.
Yeah.
And we want to pursue best if we possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, we're never out to, so we're going to kind of wrap up with the top mm-hmm. foods to avoid.
Yep.
We're never out to make you guys feel bad or right. like we never want you beating yourself up. We want to empower you
yep.
to just consider, can I make a different choice here, right? Yep. Can I swap something out here? Because we care about you guys and we want you to feel good.
Yep.
And we know that these foods are what's going to make you really feel good and enjoy life.
Major contributor.
These foods, as we wrap up, are going to be the foods that if you just pay attention when you eat these, that they might not make you feel so good. And pay attention anytime you eat anything on how it makes you feel. White sugar, white flour, dairy products.
From the grocery
store. From the grocery store.
Do not insult the cow or the goat. If you have one of those and you get it directly from them, for most people, that's an amazing, dense,
yes.
rich, nutritious food.
Yes.
It's when you buy their product, the goat or the cow's product, yeah. from the grocery store.
Yes.
Then we start running into some problems.
In fact, Y Fresh, when I was on their website, I noticed they have cultured sour cream.
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting some.
And I think they have goat milk, too.
They do.
So, totally different than what you're getting in the store. Pork, mostly because it's parasitic. Can cause problems in that area. Mm-hmm. Foods fried in oils mm-hmm. and margarine.
So when you see hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated on the label, mm-hmm.
avoid like the plague.
All right. Well, that
helps.
Yeah. We go live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time right here. Next week, we are covering hormone health.
Oh, yay.
Healthy hormones.
We'll let you naturally. And Tammy and Molly and Sarah and Rachel, we'll let all you, Linda and Nora, you guys can handle that one. Craig and I will go golfing.
You definitely be in on that, I think. Yeah. Let us know if you have topics or questions that you want us to cover. Drop a comment. We want to cover things that are important to you.
Yes, please.
And we thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to Total Wellness Radio.
That was my line.
Oh.
Please go to iTunes, Spotify, or your most loved music app online and see, you stole my thunder. And subscribe to Total Wellness Radio. We're going to be on 250 episodes. So, can I go golfing? Yes, you can, Ed. Come up, we'll go golfing. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Good day, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Country Doctors Wellness Wednesday.
Happy Wellness Wednesday. Today's topic is something that affects
a lot of people.
Everybody, especially when you're dealing with chronic discomfort, chronic pain, regardless of what you've been told regarding the itis that it might be, bursitis, arthritis, those types of things. Anything that ends in itis, by the way, just as a quick reminder, it has to do with inflammation. Mm-hmm. And we know scientifically and clinically that there are many, many foods that when consumed on a regular basis will feed that inflammation. So we're going to correct some of that today and make sure that we are getting you folks well educated on the things you need to avoid. You need to avoid these foods for about 6 weeks mm-hmm. as best as you can mm-hmm. to get the best results. See how your body responds to the dietary adjustment.
Yeah.
So.
And this is something that, like you said, affects a lot of people. I think it affects a lot of people that don't even realize it affects them.
Correct.
And so that's why it is a really, really good thing for us to discuss, because we have had many clients, I know I've personally witnessed some, that just by cutting out like one of these foods mm-hmm. made this huge impact in how they felt or their pain management, right? Mm-hmm. And as we kind of dive into this, I also just want to say that this is not to discourage anybody from eating healthy foods, because sometimes when we hear that healthy foods can be on the list of foods that are problematic, it doesn't mean that every single food on this list is problematic for every single person. It's different for everyone.
Yeah.
So just kind of keeping that in mind, we're not trying to deter you away from things that might be, you know, that may have benefits as well. Mm-hmm. For example, as we dive in tomatoes.
Yes.
Right? Tomatoes can have a lot of really amazing health benefits. But each individual person is different mm-hmm. and responds differently to different foods. Mm-hmm. So one person could eat tomatoes every single day.
Yep.
My husband, for example, and it not be an issue at all. And then another person can have like one grape tomato and their whole body inflames for the next 24 to 48 hours. Yeah. I mean, it's totally
just
different.
That fast it can happen. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're talking nightshades, which are foods that can cause chronic pain, cause mm-hmm. inflammation. Like we mentioned, it's different for everybody.
Yep. Tomatoes, potatoes, yams. This is also based on the work of Dr. Sherry Rogers, medical doctor out of Sarasota, Florida. Thank you, Dr. Sherry, for your contribution to this topic. We try to bring you always the best, most up-to-date information, and mm-hmm. it's been my experience for the last number of years that Dr. Rogers' information regarding the effects of nightshade on the body and inflammatory cases is just top-notch. It's one of the best resources you're ever going to find. Mm-hmm. She did write a book, Pain-Free in 6 Weeks, and you can check it out on Amazon. So Dr. Sherry Rogers, Pain-Free in 6 Weeks. And these are just little excerpts from her book, the things that we're covering. Because these are the ones that when we do food logs with clients, it seems like they're most common. These things show up a lot. And so when we did an excerpt from her book to share with clients, one of the top, it's got to be at least one of the top 3 to 5 complaints that we see here on a weekly basis is pain, is discomfort, is, you know, waking up sore and achy and things of that nature. So this is something that's really important. It does, as the topic description said, it affects most everybody. Mm-hmm. And this is something to be aware of and really watch your consumption of these foods. The next one's potatoes.
Yeah.
Potatoes, we've all had a baked potato with all the bells and whistles on it, right? All the trimmings. And we know.
I think most people have had wonderful French fries. It tastes,
and French fries, well, and mashed.
Some of them are not actually made out of potato, but some French fries are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, scallops, chips. Anytime, here's something to remember too, and this goes for not just the nightshade family of foods, mm-hmm. but any food that has been tampered with, the more by man that's been tampered with, usually the more nutrient deficient or depleted, denatured mm-hmm. that it is. So for example, when you have a baked potato with the skin on, mm-hmm. you put some sour cream and butter and all those goodies on there, and salt and pepper, that is, besides the heating of that product, it's the closest to what nature intended it to be. But then when you turn that potato into a French fry, now you've added...
Or a chip.
Mm-hmm. When you know, the first step is usually the French fry, right? So you've added hydrogenated oil, you've superheated it now. You've really destroyed a lot of the potential.
Any nutritional value that might have been there.
You've really destroyed the nutritional value that's there, and it's denatured even more. And then if you take it to the next step, which is the worst expression of what a potato used to be like, right, is a potato chip. Even Lay's was honest with us when they said, you bet you can't eat just one. They were right, and most people who have ever eaten Lay's potato chips don't eat just one and walk away. They eat the whole bag or half a bag or whatever. So because they've added now, it's so denatured as a food mm-hmm. that they've added flavored enhancers and different things to really, mm-hmm. You know, excitotoxins for the taste buds so that you really, really want more of those types of foods. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're up against in modern manufacturing of foods. Those are the things that can sneak in there and become very problematic for us. Sweet potatoes tend to be okay, though. They are from a different family. That's important mm-hmm. to mention.
Yep.
Sweet potatoes are not classified as part of that nightshade family, so you can certainly, for most people, have those without any problem with it feeding inflammation or pain.
Correct.
So, yes.
Peppers is another one.
I love bell peppers.
Yeah. Right? Hot peppers.
Green peppers, orange peppers.
I mean, like so many different... peppers that could affect you.
Yeah.
And this is why, kind of going back to the food logs, when we first put clients on food logs, right? Yes. It's usually not this like exciting deliverance of news to clients that like right. most people aren't like, oh yay, I was hoping you were gonna put me. I mean, like, you I'm would so be looking that way.
Forward
but
to
most
food
people
logs.
Are not gonna be super excited about food logs. But this is one thing I always like to mention, is that sometimes the healthy foods are problematic.
Yes.
And but we have to have it logged to pick up on specific patterns, or
yes.
or maybe you're just over consuming one food, right? And so it's never to deter anybody from eating the quote unquote healthy foods, right? But it's just really to identify what is potentially problematic for you, because it's different for everybody. And then let's just cut out, you know, these one or two things and see if that makes a difference for you. So like, as we talk about peppers, right? Like, I do fine mm-hmm. with bell
yeah,
peppers.
I another tend to person be fine with
our,
them too.
Yeah, another person in our office, she can't even have like one of, you know,
yeah,
one little
right.
slice,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
And so everybody's going to respond slightly differently.
Yeah. And the other thing we have to remember too is that these things are slipped into the diet in many ways, like deli meats and soy sauces. Watch your labeling, like Worcestershire sauce, different sauces, marinades, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Those can really be problematic for people, and they don't associate, well, I didn't have peppers, but you've got to become a good label reader. They'll sneak those things in into different dips, different crackers. I mean, they're just,
yeah.
there's a lot of ways that you're getting exposed to that. So
that's another really good thing to point out too, is just, it's usually all of the little extras that we consume
yeah.
that create the most problems for us. And we don't think about it, because it's like, well, I had a little bit of sauce, right? Or a little barbecue sauce. So it didn't even get on the food log, but then not realizing that maybe you had a sauce or something like that a couple of times a day, and that added ingredients that are in there to preserve it,
mm-hmm.
To make it taste better. Look at the sugar content, you know? So like, yes, absolutely, there could be hidden ingredients like peppers
yep.
Or spices, which is the next one we're gonna talk about, but also other ingredients, sugar, things like that.
And also remember that black and white peppers are okay. There's a white peppercorn, black peppercorn.
Oh, yeah,
when you crush those up and use them as a flavor enhancer on salads and meats and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
Different side dishes. Typically, most often, white pepper, black pepper, those aren't going to be a problem for people. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into spices. So again, this could
this
be
is where it gets tricky.
This is where it's tricky, and
yep.
it's different for everybody, right? So like, I had one, which was cinnamon, that bugged
me. Oh, that's
me
right. Yeah, I
really
forgot
bad.
About that.
But then later, so I did a kidney cleanse,
mm-hmm.
and my kidney got to be in a much better place, and I later was able to eat cinnamon. So it was
yep.
very problematic for me at one time. After I did a kidney cleanse, then I didn't really seem to have a problem, as long as I don't like overdo it and have like cinnamon tea 5 times a day.
Right.
But then later I found out, well, cinnamon is a kidney cleanser.
Yep.
So it was problematic for me because I needed to cleanse my kidneys, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's really just our body communicating to us like, hey, I have something going on here
mm-hmm.
that we need to address.
One of the biggest hidden factors, and people need to really become good label readers,
mm-hmm.
is on salad dressings for
yeah.
the spices and the peppers,
yeah.
primarily the spices, right? When you see natural flavorings, things of that nature. You know, just be careful, because you might, when you see natural flavorings on the front, you think, oh, that's fine. I'm okay with that, right? It's not. But when you look at the back and you read the fine print, that's where you can find
yeah.
some of these things are being, you know, hidden into those salad dressings. Commercial salad dressings especially can be really problematic for people. And they don't even think about it as a factor. Like with me, I love ranch.
Right.
Okay? I love the...
Especially because I'm only taking a little bit, so it's not,
yep.
but it only takes a little bit.
2 tablespoons is all I'm sprinkling on that salad usually. And there's only, the Hidden Valley Ranch doesn't seem to bother me, but I always mix it up. I don't try to get stuck in a rut on just one dressing, so I use the Bolt House, which is a yogurt-based
mm-hmm.
kind
it's
of
a little cleaner.
It's a little cleaner. It's like kind of a knockoff ranch dressing, if you will. But
yeah,
it's
really, so really good.
Yeah, it tastes fine.
In the produce section at the grocery store.
Hey, Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Have fun with your client today.
I go in and out with the dressings. Like,
yeah.
I'll be really good and, like, make homemade dressings. And then I'll be really bad and have the Hidden Valley.
Yep.
So I'm kind of like you. Like, I try and, like, mix it up. If you look at dressings, you turn them around in the store and look at them. The majority of commercial dressings, the very first ingredient is going to be like soybean oil or something to do with corn syrup. So it's almost always going to be something to do with corn or soy.
Right.
And genetic, which means it's genetically modified. Mm-hmm. And your first ingredient is always going to be the largest amount of whatever's in there.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
And so that's essentially your base of the product. Ingredients always go by the percentage of what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're consuming that constantly,
yep.
right, it's a genetically modified substance, and then it has all this other stuff in there. Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that on these labels is to make sure that when you see things like garlic, ginger, rosemary, basil,
mm-hmm.
those types of ingredients in these types of sauces, marinades, dressings, that type of thing, is typically, for most people, not problematic at all. They're really just very, very benign. They are wonderful flavor enhancers. They would fall under the natural flavorings side of things. So you just got to be aware of that. Kind of be, you know, one of the best things you can do for yourself and your overall health is become a good label reader, and then hold, and if you think you need to, hold yourself accountable to food logs for a couple of weeks. Have somebody help you kind of figure it out. Play Sherlock Holmes. So.
Yeah. And if you don't have somebody to check your food logs for you, find a friend. Do it with them and check each other's, because that can be fun too. Help you, you know, kind of work together on it.
Sure. One of the last comments on this particular one, and then we'll get into the what's left column, which means here's all the wonderful things that you don't have to typically worry about in an inflammatory case. Also avoid eggplant and tobacco, as well as soy products. Please, please, please remember your history. Monsanto has done an amazing, unfortunate job at the genetically modified organism, primarily starting with soybeans. Soybeans are found in almost like 5,000 things like 5,000 different grocery store products are substituting soybeans in their products. And so 80% of that gene that they've used in the soy is from the nightshade family. So 80% of the soy is going to be, you know, it's going to be an inflammatory problem for people who can't have nightshade. So remember that. Become a good label reader. So you might look at a label and it's everything's great and you see soy. And then you got to ask yourself, well, if that's from Monsanto and it's genetically modified, which most are,
mm-hmm.
80% of that soy protein is going to be a nightshade family substance, and it's going to be potentially extremely problematic, especially when we eat things over and over and over and over again, because we tend to get in a rut with our diets.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Everybody does. Okay, I'm guilty of it. We tend to eat similar foods day in and day out, and the body develops this intolerance. It can't keep up with the demands that we have placed by on the digestion, the stomach. Hey, Sheila, thanks for joining us. The liver, the pancreas, the production of enzymes, these types of things, the emulsifiers, okay? And so we can wear these things out by not having some variety to the diet.
Yes, the body likes variety.
Add back some variety.
With foods.
Yes. So what's left, people say? Here we go. She's got a list.
Flaxseed.
Yes.
Olive oils.
Yes.
Although don't cook with the olive oils.
Yeah, use avocado.
Or coconut.
Yeah.
Vegetables, sweet potatoes, which you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
black pepper, which you mentioned, and this is every week, pretty much, garlic.
We love garlic.
You can't go wrong with garlic. Every
garlic.
Day,
you just cannot go wrong with it.
Ginger.
Yep.
Basil, that's good. I eat a lot of basil.
Yeah.
Rosemary.
That homemade dressing. What all is in that homemade dressing that you use? Because it's garlic,
and it's
rosemary,
on both
basil,
of the websites. So it's like a tomato, garlic, basil. And basically, I do avocado oil, tomato, like actual tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So
we would have to watch that.
Basil.
For somebody with nightshades.
Yeah, so if you have nightshades, what I would do is you could make it without the tomatoes, and you would
it
just make it more of an
amazing.
Oil. It would be more of just a garlic basil taste. It does have, so it would still be good. It just wouldn't have the tomato in there. And then you would want to skip by put paprika in it. So it has tomatoes, avocado oil, garlic, lemon juice, which helps keep it, you know, it's good in the fridge for like a week or two.
Oh, yeah.
Basil, thyme, and paprika. I think it's pretty.
It's an amazing
recipe.
Simple
we recipe,
love it around
but it's
here.
It's really delicious.
We are so excited when Becca brings salad bowls and her dressing.
I haven't made it in a while.
It's time.
One of
it's
my
time.
Kids too. He will. He's
puts
he's
it on
my
everything?
He's my picky. I won't eat vegetables. And he when I make it, he's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll eat the veggies. Salad. Yeah. Do you think I would eat a Brussels sprout if you soaked it in that? I mean, I would try it.
I
don't know if I'd eat more than one, but I would try it.
That's a good idea. I might have to do that.
Oh, it's great.
We have a joke around here because he hates Brussels sprouts. So
I just
there was
can't
a time that I tricked him into eating one because it was covered in sauce, and I said it was a mushroom.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for you to pay me back on that.
When you least expect it, expect it.
Yeah. The other thing is that with the tomato dressing, is if you add it, if you mix it with sour cream,
mm-hmm.
boom, it's like the most delicious dip.
Oh, that makes such good sense.
Right?
I'm looking forward to that coming to the clinic very, very soon.
Hint, hint. The point is you want to experiment with recipes.
Yes.
We put a lot on both of our websites as well.
Yes.
So check out Country Doctor Nutritional Center.com is our clinic site. If you click on the blog, or just search Country Doctor, you know, Nutritional Center recipes, they should come up as well. Just in the Google search bar, but we try to share as many. There's also on our free downloads a 50 page recipe book.
Oh yeah. That's
so
right.
There's tons of resources for you guys, but yep. I think the point we probably want to make is that you can make really delicious foods that aren't horrible for you.
Yeah.
It just takes a little work and maybe some experimenting and figuring out what you like. And also what does your body respond well to, right?
Yep.
Like we were talking about today is one person might be totally fine with the tomatoes.
Sure.
Another person, it's going to give them really bad pain and inflammation for the next couple days. So it's just different for everybody.
And in finishing up with the what's left column.
Okay.
All fresh, unprocessed meats, fowl, mm-hmm. seafoods, wines, fruits, nuts, beans, cheeses, white cheeses, by the way,
mm.
preferably white cheeses. So pepper jack, the white cheddar, provolone, things of that nature is going to be the mm-hmm. best. Grains and herbs, got to be careful of the grains for other factors, not just pain, but folks who tend to build edema, put on a water weight real easily, or are prone to certain allergy kind of responses. Got to be very, very careful of overdoing the grains as well as other herbs. These are not part of the nightshade family. Again, I want to thank Dr. Sherry Rogers, pain-free in 6 weeks, for her reference. She's out of Sarasota, Florida. Look up her book. It's amazing. And let's see. What else we got cooking? What else going on?
I was just
going
to add in, never take our word for anything. We always encourage you to do your own research.
Yep.
Do your own reading. That's why we like to share books and resources and things. We're just trying to share some information, get you to do some more reading or research on your own so that you're educating yourself.
Yep. Carolyn, Janice, thank you so much. Shannon.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining
Daniel,
us.
Daniel, Sheila, you folks, Doug and Callie, take care. Thank you for joining us next week.
Next week we are covering what you shouldn't eat in a day. Like, what should your daily diet look like?
Oh, that'll be good.
Top foods that you should eat, top foods that you should avoid.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and just give a spoiler alert. Garlic is probably going to be on the list of
gotta
things
be on
you
the
should
list.
Eat.
Yeah, it's got to be on the list.
Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to Total Wellness Radio.
Take care and be blessed. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.